Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Friend, and welcome to Catch Up with Louise McSharry. This is the podcast where I do my very best along with my team of, I always mess this up because what I want to say is my crack team of contributors. What I always end up saying is my team of crack contributors, which is also kind of accurate if you use the C or AIC spelling. But in my head, I'm always like, am I making it sound like they're on crack? Anyway, welcome, my friends. Welcome to the podcast. We do our best around here to try and keep you up to date. If you're not paying attention, if you're too busy, if you're not, just don't feel like it, if the news is too bleak for you, but you still want to be up to date, then I will try and do that for you. On Mondays, we talk news. On Wednesdays, we talk showbiz and celebs. And on Friday, I bring you an interview with someone who's got something going on that's relevant to the world, or someone who I just think you'll be interested to hear from. And I just wanted to say a big thank you. Your support has been really felt over the course of the last week, both on Patreon and in general. The feedback I got on the Beyonce episode I did on my background report on Cowboy Carter has been amazing, and I've also heard from loads of you over the last couple of days about the news episode. I think I was pretty frustrated and aired some frustrations on that episode, and lots of you are feeling the same frustrations, and I really appreciate it when you feed that back to me, because sometimes I worry that I'm just like ranting away, and you know, it also is a comfort to me to hear that I'm not alone in my feelings. So yeah, basically I love you guys and thank you so much for being here. Thank you as well for buying tickets to my show in the Laughter Lounge, which is taking place on May 9th. That's actually sold out now, which is amazing. Thank you so much. You are the best. If that date didn't work for you, we're working on another date, which I should have info for you on possibly by Friday, by the Friday episode. But yeah, there will be another date available soon, I think. Don't like, you know, put any big money bets on it or anything, but it's looking pretty likely. And myself and Esther and Emer have been working away on what we're planning to do for you guys. Half the show is going to be me and Esther and Emer doing a kind of celeb inspired section, and then half the show is going to be an interview. It's going to be really fun. I'm so looking forward to it, but the more that I chat to Esther and Emer about it, the more excited I am about that section, because I just think it's going to be a really good crack, which we have to deliver, because we will be, of course, in the Lounge of Laughter. Those are just the rules. I hope you're having a good week, but as I always say, if you're not, that's okay too. Hopefully this chat with Esther about the week's entertainment news will give you a little lift. There's lots of silly stuff in there, mainly silly stuff. We of course have to talk about Coachella at length. Frankly, I love it, as you will hear me expressing it quite clearly in this section. And thanks so much for being here. I hope you enjoy. Esther O'More Donoghue, what a joy it is to be clasped once again to your bosom. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Sitting here at our mini fold-out camping tables that I set up especially for us.
I love it. It's adorable. Yeah. It's an extra service you provide at no cost, and I'm grateful for that. We just got some massive breaking news, Esther.
Are we talking about Henry Cavill and his girlfriend?
Absolutely.
We only covered this on our beat a couple of weeks ago. And now, yes, the announcement has come out that him and his girlfriend, Natalie Viscuso, former star of my Super Sweet 16, they're expecting a child. Congratulations to them both.
So happy for them. So happy for you, Natalie. So happy for you, Henry?
Harry.
Harry?
Harry Cavill.
Henry, no.
Henry.
Jesus. I haven't even started and I've already lost it. Anyway, it's just wild, isn't it? How just a few weeks ago, we didn't even know that Henry Cavill was going out with someone from My Super Sweet 16 and now they're having a baby.
Now their family is expanding. Wowee.
It never stops. No. It never stops. These celebs, they keep me young. Anyway, Esther, it's a joy to have you back. How are you doing? How's your life?
Yeah, thriving. Absolutely thriving.
I am thrilled to hear Thank you. Genuinely. I mean it with all my heart. I tell you what I'm thriving in the context of.
Yes, Louise. Very good.
Coachella. People complain about Coachella every year about the outfits and the influencers and the blah, blah, blah. I love it. Give it all to me. Give me the shit offshoots that are sponsored by brands. Give me the influencers who don't even go to Coachella. Give me the influencers who aren't even looking at the music. Give me all the music. I like every single bit of it. And there was lots of juice that came out of the first weekend of it.
Yeah. Have you been to Coachella?
I have not. I have no desire to go.
No. I think I remember interviewing Stephen Byrne from 2FM, formerly 2FM years ago, and he said when he went, he ended up back at some mad party. He was there the year Beyonce played. He ended up at a party that was hosted by Skillrex and he broke his two front teeth.
Skrillex.
Skrillex. DJ Skillrex.
Yes, I too have heard that story. He did. Some people I know who've been are like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you laughing at Skillrex? Yeah.
There might be a few. There's some of the names. I was looking through these stories. It's like, DJ Hooji Wooji. I don't know. Oh, DJ Hooji Wooji was there.
It's okay, Esther. I'm here to help you. This is my area of expertise, so I can help you with this.
But one person I do know about is Grimes.
Yeah, hang on. I wasn't finished.
Excuse me.
She's jumping ahead.
Go on.
I was just going to say that I know people who've been who loved it, who loved every bit of it. And I know people who've been who are like big music heads who say it's just not the best. Like in terms of a vibe at a festival, I think they have a rule. You can only drink in certain designated areas that are fenced off. So you can't watch any music with a drink in your hand. Which for a lot of Irish people, that's not what we want. We want to be able to flow freely from place to place. And apparently, like most of the cool stuff is in the VIP areas and like, you know, it's really not worth going unless you're VIP. And then, you know, that takes away from the whole vibe. And so it's just not number one on my
list.
And
I didn't realize it was so big. Like over the 2 weekends, I think it's like 650,000 people are attending. It's crazy.
Huge. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. And I was wondering, like, does it have the same impact with Gen Z? Because it definitely, like a few years ago, it was peak like Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
In that kind of festival gear in front of the big wheel. I wonder, does it hit the same way?
Well, I did hear on Who Weekly this morning that Vanessa Hudgens did not attend for the second year in a row. Now, she did just have a baby. But I think it is hitting because all of my TikTok girlies that I see are going. Like Alex Earle had a whole house, the poppy house, her and her friends. So like, I think it continues to have its hold. I think it kind of always will because it's so close to LA and everybody wants to be in LA anyway. And you know, the whole thing. Anyway, yes, Grimes. Let's talk about Grimes. Not a great weekend for Grimes.
No, I hope this doesn't happen at the sold out Louise McSherry live event at the Laughter Lounge. But you can imagine like, so she was performing last weekend in front of thousands of fans. I think she performed in a while. So, you know, she was doing a DJ set and the first half of her set went well. But then the second half, things just started to go wrong for her. And it just happens sometimes. But, you know, I think maybe part of the scale, which he acknowledged afterwards, is just to like, oh God, the wheels are coming off the cart right before my eyes. I gotta just keep pretending. But it's really hard. So there was technical issues and she was sort of visibly
panicking.
Of course you would.
I hate to do this. All my tracks are, this is insane. All my tracks are double the tempo and they're like, I'm trying to do the math, but they're kind of unmixable if we can't. I'm going to go back to, okay, the rest of the mixes are going to be a bit crazy though, because I did the last song about 2 hours ago, and something in Record Box fucked up, if anyone knows what I'm talking about, so the rest of the set isn't mixes, but It will be fun.
It's the kind of thing that you have a dream about before a big gig. That, like, it used to happen to me where I would arrive to radio and none of the equipment would be working. Or, you know, it's mm-hmm. it is a literal nightmare.
Mm-hmm. When, yeah, the you're like, is this anything going out? Anyway, so she, on Sunday, she took to X, formerly Twitter, which is owned by her father.
X.
What did I say? Skillrex. She took to Skillrex. She said, Skillrex, can you put this out, please? Send this memo to people. So she took to X, formerly Twitter, to apologise for the performance. And she promised that she would have a better performance when she's performing in the next weekend of Coachella, which is the 19th to 21st of April. And she said, I want to apologise. She wanted to come back really strong. And usually I always handle every aspect of my show myself to save time. This time was one of the first times I outsourced essential things like, and I understand exactly what she says here, record box BPMs and letting someone else organise the tracks and the SD card, etc. So, yeah. You know, she... And so she said she kind of came away from it with some learning, as you know.
Yeah.
If you want something done right, do it yourself.
Yeah.
Be a C, even if people feel B. Yeah. And et cetera, et cetera. So, awful.
I mean, the thing about it is, like, I've read a lot of the discourse around this. And the thing about it was, I think people were annoyed, first of all, because she didn't advertise that she was doing a DJ set. Mm. Like, people thought she was going to be...
Full-on performance.
Yeah. So they weren't happy already. And then the other thing is, there is a whole genre of DJs who were absolutely fuming that pop stars are doing DJ sets now. Mm-hmm. And they were all like, well, it wouldn't happen to an actual DJ. An actual DJ would never let someone else organize their tracks. And, like, you know, I saw lots of DJs on Twitter saying,
well, I'm not an actual DJ, yeah. And it didn't work out, so are you happy now?
I know. Loads of guys being like, this is all the stuff I did, you know, I think it was, oh, I'm not going to name him because I don't want to get the DJ wrong, but there was a DJ who was like, a couple of years ago, my flight got cancelled on the way to Ultra, so I didn't get to do a sound check. So here's all the steps I took to make sure that everything would be great. It's like, okay, well, she didn't.
Yeah,
and,
she didn't.
I think she's learned some valuable lessons. Give her a break. Give her a break. I do feel sorry for her, even though she's...
Oh, can you imagine the sweat, the panic? And, you know, it was the fact that she was on a huge, massive stage. It wasn't like, I'm doing a little set just in a tent over here, by the way, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, it was like, I'm here and I'm getting it wrong. It's going wrong. But anyway, so...
And she also had tweeted, which I found very amusing, a few days before... something like, you know, everyone was appalled when I told them I was spending all my budget on this giant mechanical spider. But I guess who's having the last laugh? And it was this, because she had this giant mechanical spider on stage. And then it was like, oh, honey.
Yeah, well, look, she learned some lessons.
I did see as well, sorry, I know I'm really on one. I watched about 100 TikToks about this. Mm-hmm. But I did see as well a guy showing that there's a glitch in the Pioneer decks, which she was likely using, where... if you have something set up in a certain way and then you push the sync button, one of the tracks will go double speed. And that's what she was saying was happening. And he was like, you know, she should have known that and she should have been able to work around it, but it is a genuine glitch in the equipment.
If it was, yeah, and it was one particular model of it. He worked those decks before and you hadn't, But I remember years ago, me and my brother watched, like, it was the News for the Deaf and the auto cue went wildly out of control. It was one of the best evenings we've ever had. The woman trying to keep up with the auto cue. And it was, she was like, she just shrugs like, I don't know what to do. And Grimes had that moment and, you know.
Everybody will be watching next weekend.
Absolutely. So that mechanical spider better be sorted and the Pioneer decks better be prepped.
Next up, obviously, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Everybody was talking about them. They were bopping around the place.
Oh, yeah. She was wearing a hat which advertised his podcast.
I liked that.
She was repping. People were lip reading left, right and centre. You see all the videos.
Yeah.
I like this. You know, kind of just basic. Yeah. You know, it's funny. They were, again...
I hate the lip reading.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. They're going to start wearing masks.
But it's honestly, like, because if you watch videos of her now in public, most of the time, if she's talking to someone, she puts her mouth up to their ear and puts her hand around her mouth. Like imagine having to do that every time you wanted to say something to someone. I do think it's over the top and it's not fair. Like, I think it's an invasion of privacy that goes, like, beyond, you know... I don't know. I don't like it personally. I don't think it's fair that they should have to be...
Well, your public should be expected to be lip read.
Yeah. And if you're in public, you should, you know, every single thing you ever say is for up for public, you know. No, it shouldn't be, I don't think. Anyway, sorry. That's my take.
And I just speak into my friend's ears because I like it and they creep some out. And I'm sorry. But, you know.
You're not. You're not sorry.
I really like it. Titter. You know, it was classic concert behavior. He was lifting her up. And people were People were kind of making, likening it to Disney classic The Lion King, in which Rafiki lifts baby Simba skyward.
I like as well that they were hanging around with Ice Spice. Like Taylor Swift and Ice Spice seem to genuinely be very good friends.
Yeah. If you're in the Taylor Swift gang, then she's, you know, she stands with you. And then, you know, Barry Keoghan was hanging around with him and his alleged girlfriend, Sabrina Carpenter. Alleged girlfriend, I just said that because I do weekly.
I've taken against her.
Go on, why?
I can't explain it. It's just, there's something. Mm-hmm. I've got the ick.
Yeah.
I think she's beautiful. Mm. I think her new song Espresso is a lovely pop ditty. But there's something about her demeanor that I, for absolutely no reason, have taken against. I can't explain it.
Yeah. I'm going to think, like, I bet in the record companies, they're like, this is going to be the new Ariana. And they're kind of, I think that's kind of the whole way it's been pushed. And there's sort of that detachment. She's not, it's too sugary for us or something. It's not, there's a veil of like distance there or something. Yeah. It's too kind of knowing. I don't know.
Well, the TikToks I saw of Barry Keoghan watching her were adorable. He clearly cannot believe. Like, it's like watching someone be like, I literally cannot believe that I'm here in this place and that is my girlfriend on the stage. And like, you know, and when you think about it, like, you know, he's a guy from Sheriff Street, isn't he? Or like around there anyway.
The North Inner City, somewhere. Yeah. And he's like, wow.
And if you think
about
it.
Look at my Burberry shorts. I'm just like,
it is insane, you know, that, I mean, it would be insane for anyone from Dublin to be standing in the pit at Coachella watching their pop star girlfriend sing.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, good for him.
And he was taking photos of her and he was adoring.
He's all about her, yeah.
All about her. And someone else who's all about his partner was Luis Relas, Teresa Giudice's.
Yes.
So Teresa Giudice from The Real Housewives of New Jersey was also at Coachella and she got her photo taken with Taylor. And Lewis posted the caption on Instagram, was like, two absolute queens, all capitals, Taylor Swift. I'm sorry if that hurt your ears, I'm sorry. Two absolute queens, Taylor Swift and my stunning wife, he captioned the photo, adding a selection of hashtags, including hashtag girl power, hashtag queens, hashtag blessed, hashtag Coachella.
Sorry, what the fuck is he doing there? You know, what is he doing there?
They love Ice Spice. Come on.
I do not understand. I do not like him. And I think he's bad for Tree. And I just don't understand what he's doing there. I don't understand what she's doing there either, to be honest. But like,
where Teresa goes, he follows, so.
I did like her pink cowboy outfit, but I want him dead.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. See, I don't know. I just hope she's got a prenup in place because she did the same with her first husband. I just worried financially that she won't be covered.
Me too. I'm very worried about her financially.
Yeah. I mean, look, he had that big house, but you don't know.
You don't know. You never know. These guys in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's a house of cards.
And I was saying to you earlier that we had some divorce news from the Real Housewives universe. We won't go too far into it. But in Miami, Alexia is divorcing. I can't remember his name.
Well, he's divorcing her, isn't he?
He's divorcing her.
Yeah.
He filed first. I bet you it's a race. They're like, this is not working. And they're like, legging it to the
oh, I need Andy and the camera now. Yeah, 100%. It was very exciting, actually, just to do a little tiny little debrief. Yesterday was a massive day in Housewives news. Robin's not going back to Potomac. Crystal's not going back to Beverly Hills. Teresa was with Taylor Swift at Coachella.
And Candace, the world turns.
Candace is pregnant.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Alexia's getting divorced. It is nonstop.
Oh, listen, they're flat out. So many of them. So there are all things happening in their lives. Anyway, back to Coachella. Lana Del Rey performed and her little special guest. There's always like kind of surprise little collabos and stuff. Lana pulled up. And this is now you're going to have to change your entrance for your show. Lana pulled up on her Harley or a motorbike. Drove up.
Yeah, so disappointing. It's exactly what I was planning to do.
You go up in a little scooter. And you know what we're going to do? Okay, we're going to get you on an electric scooter. We're going to track you in live time and have you, where is she now? She's at the Spire. And then you drive, we'll have you on a big screen as you drive into the venue and everyone will be cheering. Okay, look, that's a lot of logistics. We've got to work that out.
Okay, write that down.
Yeah, write that down. So she drove up on her motorbike. She was looking beautiful in the Dolce & Gabbana, crystally.
Yeah.
And she's just so serene. And like her whole, what's the word? Not I don't say shtick and demeanor. Like her whole essence thing is kind of, it's just like, I'm calm, I'm coming on, and
I'm,
you know,
glamorous.
I'm glamorous, yeah. I'm all sparkly. Anyway, so and then she performed some songs with Billie Eilish, including Video Games and Ocean Eyes, which was beautiful. And at the end of the song, Del Rey raved about Eilish. She's like, this is the voice of our generation, the voice of your generation. I'm so effing grateful she's standing next to me right now singing my favourite song of hers. Eilish smiled at the praise and then playfully joked, get the fuck out of my face, before the two started laughing. So it was cute. It was cute, yeah. So they were their mutual support and appreciation society, and it was great.
It looked like Billie Eilish had a great weekend because she wasn't officially like doing a gig. Mm-hmm. She had her little thing with Lana on Friday. Then she popped up at a DJ set on Saturday and let them play a little snippet of one of her forthcoming songs because her album's out in a few weeks, which sounded really good. And it was just like her and 20 of her mates just jumping around the stage. I mean, that would be fun.
Yeah.
It would be fun to be Billie Eilish, I think, for the most part.
She's having a great time.
She is.
And then did you see the Tyler, the Creator stage?
That looked amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Like, amazing.
Like how many LEDs?
He came on like by like on a rope, like dangling on a rope, crashing through a wall. He's some guy, some brain, like a lot going
Tyler
on up
Creator,
there.
You're some man.
He's some man for one man, let me tell you.
Yeah, so that was amazing. He had like lots of guests. He'd A$AP Rocky and Rihanna made her way through the crowd to kind of get to the front and watch him. And yeah, that whole, it was just incredible. That set, those lights were really beautiful.
Yeah.
So the crowd loved him. And then in kind of a throwback Vampire Weekend were last minute added to the lineup. And their little special guest was a cameo from Paris Hilton. And she popped up on the stage for a game of cornhole.
She's
classic.
Iconic.
I mean, she is. So she'll pop up where you least expect her. And she was at Coachella. So that's the whole Coachella vibe. So see, I can't wait to see what happens, you know, on the next weekend. But
that's kind of what I love about the two weekend thing is that like you do get, you kind of get warmed up weekend one and then you get to go weekend two again. I love it.
Yeah.
But what, Esther?
But I'm going to say that what I think we both loved the most was Doja Cat's.
Oh my God.
Ensemble performance. Amazing.
That hair outfit she wore. If you haven't seen it, Doja Cat wore, so Doja Cat shaved her head and loads of people gave her loads of shit about it. And then she came out wearing hair all over her body, blonde, straight hair. She had a long blonde straight wig on. She had a bustier kind of outfit that had a long blonde hair from it. She had boots on that had long blonde hair coming from them.
They were custom Timberlands.
It was amazing. So swooshy and cool.
Yeah, and all of her backing dancers were dressed like in head-to-toe hair costumes in the same long kind of Afghan blonde. It was like Donatella Versace blonde. And I was thinking it reminded me of the Madonna video Bedtime Story. You know, when she's kind of floating through the, go Google Bedtime Story. She's floating through and her blonde hair is all flowing behind her and everything. It was incredible. So go and take a little look at the video now if you haven't. Just pause it for a second and have a look.
The choreography was amazing.
I mean, it was incredibly executed, beautifully made and everything, but it was sort of a simple idea. It was just like they were simple and beautiful, but they obviously took so much work and everything. Mm. But it was the lights, it was the movement of the hair, it was the song, the energy. It was the kind of performance where you go, okay, people are going to go back to their creative boards and with their team and be like, okay, this is, it shifted things a bit. It's moved things along. Yeah, it's really inspiring. And then there was a whole other scene later on in the song where she's dancing in mud. The whole kind of theme was like prehistoric.
Oh, the mud was unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know the way when Beyonce did her Beychella 6 years ago, was it? Mm-hmm. Like, and she had the contrast between weekend one and weekend two. She wore pink and she wore yellow. Mm. Is that, imagining, I don't know what Doja's going to do the second weekend to cook those two visuals together. Yeah. And eventually, it will be amazing.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. It just came over me. I'm so sorry. I had a good night's sleep the last few nights. I just found a tweet that has her full performance on it. So I've saved it for watching it later because I'm dying to see the full performance. She's amazing.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, let's move on. We do have a few other stories that we need to touch base on. Let's start with, this is awful. And it kind of came up briefly in, well, the story itself didn't come up briefly. It was one of the main things we talked about in the news episode this week. But obviously there was that absolutely horrific attack in Sydney. And I think Carl mentioned that Rachel Riley, who is from Countdown, had tweeted kind of linking the attack to Islamic terrorism. Or what is referred to as Islamic terrorism. And it obviously was not that at all. And as a result, people are calling on her to be fired, basically.
Yeah, she was accused of promoting Islamophobia when she incorrectly suggested the attack in Sydney, which in which six people lost their lives, was a Palestinian uprising. So she deleted her original tweet, and she, in the original tweet, it claimed the shopping mall assault was due to a globalized intifada. And then in her apology, Rachel expressed regret if her comment had been, quote, misunderstood. However, a lot of social media users aren't accepting her apology, and they've, you know, asked Channel 4 to dismiss her. And so then she posted another tweet, a lengthy apology, and she said, just to clarify, my intention with this tweet was not to say this attack was caused by any ideation or to link it to Islamic extremism. At the time, we did not know who the attacker was, and as such, I made no reference. My aim was to highlight the weekly calls for intifada being tolerated in London and around the world, which in actuality means violence on our streets. So it went on. So she gave her apology, but people aren't happy, and I think it was out of line.
Like, intifada is just a rebellion or uprising or a resistance. So, like, I mean, intifada, you know, arguably could be any protest, but like specifically intifada is used around, you know, the uprisings of Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. So, you know, it is specific to that. So, but to infer that people who are protesting for Palestine are all violent is in itself problematic.
Yeah. Like, yeah. She said, you know, she has avoided going on the tube and things like that. She feels unsafe. And that's how, if that's how she feels, that's, you know,
how she feels.
But I mean, sometimes we just need to stay away from social media accounts. You don't need to, you know, it was a completely, it's an awful situation in Sydney, and does not need anyone else's commentary on and suggesting, and then, you know.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see now what the fallout is for her. I mean, I doubt that there will be one, to be honest. I feel like it'll blow over, but it's just wild that we live in a world where, you know, someone off Countdown has a massive platform and can have a massive impact. It's just, it's all social media, isn't it?
I know, and yeah. Carol Vorderman would never.
She would never. Thank you, Esther. You're dead right.
Thank you.
Now, Ryan Gosling hosted SNL, and people give out about SNL a lot, but when it's good, it's very good. And Ryan Gosling was brilliant on it. I don't know, did you watch many of the clips?
I watched a few of them. And yeah, he's appeared in it a couple of times. I think the last time was 2017. And yeah, sometimes it's like, oh goodness. But I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I would love to do SNL. It would be so, like, it's like a dream. You know, you get to, I'd say it's probably, it's such hard work, but you're just kind of performing these live and just hoping that, you know, people, they land, and sometimes they do and some they don't. But with Ryan Gosling, they did. And he was kind of giddy the whole way. Like, he was trying not to laugh pretty much consistently throughout every single sketch.
Yeah.
But he was brilliant. Anyway, so the cold open for this.
I think that kind of adds to it, though. When you can see that they're having fun.
Yeah. I like that. But in the cold open, they reprised the popular Close Encounter sketch, which is Barbie co-star Kate McKinnon was in, and Cecily Strong was in the original sketch, but she left in 2022, so she was replaced by Sarah Sherman. Anyway, it's basically the kind of, these three characters are sitting there and they're just kind of recounting how they were abducted by aliens, but it's Kate McKinnon kind of steals the scene. And in the original scene, they're all just trying not to laugh so hard. It kind of just unravels, and that's like the joy of it.
Yeah.
And it happens again, and she's just, yeah.
It's she's
just,
so good. Yeah.
So I can't, yeah. So I don't know. You have to go watch the scenes. They're really funny, but they're all kind of Southern, and she just goes into really unnecessary detail about, you know, referencing her genitals and all sorts. And it's just so funny. And and then there was another Barbie monologue where he said, I'm not going to talk about Barbie anymore. And then Emily Blunt comes in and they end up doing a whole song together. And Emily Blunt, I know she was in Mary Poppins and stuff, but I actually forgot that she's a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she can really sing. Yeah.
It was gorgeous. So that was, it was kind of, he performed a version of Taylor Swift's All Too Well. And because they're like, let's forget about Barbie. We have to kind of promote our new film, Fall Guy, which co-stars Blunt. And she's like, I'm going to forget about Oppenheimer. But, you know, da da da. So, yeah, it was really good. And then there was another sketch where he was like engaged, but he was trying to get out of it. And da da da.
Anyway, I thought that one was really funny.
Yeah,
basically, if you like Ryan Gosling, it's worth a watch. It's very funny. He's good at comedy.
He's really good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because SNL themselves post the sketches and the opening monologue and all the rest on YouTube. So you can get it all. And it is worth watching if you missed it. Now, I found this to be spectacular. It's not even because I'm on anyone's side. It's just, if you respect the art of reading, as they would call it in the queer community, Sharon Osbourne read Amanda Holden for filth on Twitter this week. And it was just so artfully done.
Yeah, I saw this on your X account, Louise.
Sorry, I just refused to call it X.
But I saw it on your Twitter account, and that was the first place I saw it, and I read it, and I was like, this is 15 pages front and back and in an inconclusion, and excuse me, and slam the door and off I go and swish my long blonde hair. It was brilliant. It was really well written.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, I'm sure Sharon was well able to do it. She wrote this thing herself, but I'm sure there was a few people. She kind of ran it through a few kind of checks.
Yeah.
And like, are we really getting it was very well written. It was, you know, it's very cutting. Because so anyway, she wrote this letter or this put out the statement in response to.
I want to read it, but start by telling us, what did Amanda Holden do?
So Amanda Holden, what she did was she made some comments that didn't name Sharon or Louis Walsh by name. But I mean, yeah, she said, basically, I hated seeing certain people in a reality show dissing Simon. He's the person who's given them all the chances, given them a lot of money and a lifestyle they probably wouldn't have had.
Mm.
And so
Sharon responded.
Sharon said, hold my drink. I'm going to have a tap out something on my BlackBerry.
I'm going to read it in full.
You may
think this is excessive, but I feel it needs to be done.
Maybe in your post-editing, you want to put some music behind it. I don't know, but look, just go for it. Look, okay. The floor is yours.
Amanda, I am responding to your interview with the Daily Mail on April 12th. I respect the fact that you feel the need to defend your good friend and employer, Simon Cowell, who is also your husband's employer, or so I've read. However, a couple of your statements regarding myself are factually incorrect. The statement, I hated seeing certain people in a reality show dissing Simon, he's the person who gives them all the chances, given them a lot of money and the lifestyle they probably wouldn't have had. The truth is, you don't know me, Amanda, or any of my close friends. You know nothing about my history in the music industry, my achievements, the artists I have worked with, the shows that I've produced, and my global celebrity. Unlike you, the brand of Sharon Osbourne is known worldwide. There are many countries that I could work in if I choose to. However, I don't have the ambition or time to do so. Our worlds are totally different. I have been blessed with an amazing lifestyle throughout my entire life. Before you were born, I was living in a mansion in Beverly Hills and continue to do so today and continue to have my country estate in England as well. But there is something you should know. I never discuss money, lifestyle, or positions of power. I find it to be classless and rude. However, you've now forced my hand to divulge these things to you, and I honestly don't want to seem like I'm bragging, but the truth is my money and success were not due to doing a couple of Simon Cowell talent shows. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed doing them at the time as they were great fun. Yes, Simon paid me very well. Probably more than what you're receiving today, but all of that, my darling, went on a few handbags. At the time that I worked on X Factor, I was the only judge who had global accomplishments with multiple million-selling artists, Grammy Award winners, and arena and stadium headliners. I was also a very successful festival producer with Ozfest, which ran for 24 years, as well as a best-selling author and producer of the hit show The Osbournes, for which I received an Emmy Award. Amanda, I think you're missing the point here. No disrespect to Simon Cowell, but he needed me for musical credibility on X Factor, and I delivered for him, and together all of us made a great team. It was only after several seasons of X Factor that Simon started to build his music empire, and I give him much kudos for what he built. When I met my husband, I was already very well established in the music industry, having worked with bands like Electric Light Orchestra, Motorhead, Smashing Pumpkins, Gary Moore, The Move, Roy Wood's Wizard, Lindsay DePaul, Britt Eklund, and Black Sabbath, to name a few. I think you must have forgotten my husband is a music icon who has sold 170 albums, won multiple Grammy Awards, and is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee. We have been together 44 years, and he has spoiled me from the first day we met. He has given me more than any man could. All of this before I even knew who Simon Cowell was. In closing, I must say, whenever I've seen you on TV, I always thought you were very beautiful and talented. However, never make comments about my lifestyle being given to me by Simon Cowell. It's demeaning to me and my husband and all the achievements I've made in my life, as you're making yourself look like an ill-informed psychopath. Ill-informed sycophantic. Sycophantic. You're making yourself look like an ill-informed sycophantic. Sycophant, surely.
Sycophant look.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Close enough.
Sincerely, Sharon Osbourne.
Sharon!
It's spectacular.
Yeah, it's well.
I mean, honestly, the tone of it is stunning.
She's just, it's facts. It's all facts.
What a woman. Like, I really, like, she's a problem, obviously, and she said loads of dodgy things, but she's also an older woman, and, like, she is wildly entertaining. I really like her.
Oh, she's been in this industry. Like, she's quite right. She has been doing this. I mean, her dad was a music manager, you know, so she's grown up in this is her world.
Yeah.
And not to diminish Amanda Holden's achievements, because it's hot out there. She's making money and doing whatever. But you know what I mean? Just, it's enough. You know, there's no, you're going to, she's going to.
You're never going to win.
No. And then the Emmy, and I've won it. And he's like, I know. Just brilliant. Yeah.
I know. Yes, Simon Cowell paid me very well, but sure, I spent that on handbags. I didn't need that money. That was my pocket money.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
She's loaded. Yeah, very good. Beautiful, beautifully red. Thank you.
I'm still annoyed about that sycophant thing, but it's fine. Did you watch Love is Blind?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course I did.
So we're both familiar then with the person who was the subject of our next story.
So yeah, so in the latest season of the American version of Love is Blind, contestant Chelsea Blackwell told her future partner, they're not together still, not together anymore, Jimmy Presnell.
And that, thank God for that.
Yeah, that was. That people had told her that she had a resemblance to Megan Fox.
Now keep in mind, these are two people talking to each other on either side of an opaque wall.
Yeah.
They can't see each other. So
and they're talking for weeks, and so you've got build up an idea in your head of what the other person might look like, etc.
It's days, but it feels like weeks.
Oh, it does. It's only days.
That's why it's so insane.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, anyway. Yeah. So you know, she's kind of said, well, people have said that I, and so of course he ran with it. He's like, oh my God.
Your man thought he'd won the lottery.
He was like,
you look like Megan Fox?
You look like Megan Fox. And so then, and she has a resemblance, but you know, he kind of jumped, you know, whatever. Da, 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 da. So
she looks a bit like Megan Fox, not majorly like Megan Fox. She's very beautiful. Like there's nothing wrong with her, but she's not Megan Fox.
You know, she's Megan Fox is kind of held up as in some quarters, one of the, you know, this beautiful women. And she's, you know,
I think she was like the hottest woman alive for a while.
Something like that, which is, a legally binding accolade.
TM.
Yeah. So she kind of has, I think it's like her eye. Anyway, look, whatever. Maybe she looks like Megan Fox's cousin or a Fox distant relative. Anyway, so Fox was speaking to E! News recently. She said, I've never had more people text me about something referencing Chelsea Blackwell claiming that people said she looked like Megan Fox, which I'm sure they did, because I don't really watch TV very much. Of course she doesn't. She's into crystals and Machine Gun Kelly, whatever. She's like, even other celebrities at like Oscar parties were like, do you watch Love is Blind? And I was like, no, but I know what you're talking about. And so she said, I didn't watch it, but I think in general, no one deserves to get bullied, she told E! News. Yeah. And I think, you know, she said, like, she's been dragged too much. Enough is enough. And you know, Chelsea, she had took it on the chin. Like, I've seen her in interviews that she was talking to people. She was like, you know, I was just saying what people were saying to me. I don't believe it. She's like, and Chelsea had reached out at the time to, in, you know, slid into Megan Fox's DMs going, I'm sorry if this is bringing stuff on you. You know, I was just whatever. And yeah, Megan Fox said, I don't think she deserved that. I think people went way too hard because, you know, you forget that's a real person. Da, da, da. Mm. She said, Did Fox see the comparison? She said, I definitely see it 100,000%. People have told her, you kind of look like Megan Fox. So I believe she's telling the truth and I hope she still has that sparkle in her eye. I hope the world didn't steal it from her, she continued. And then she added, mine died long ago from being bullied for 20 years. Now, which is terrible. But of course, a Hollywood star brings it back to herself, which she should, because she's being interviewed and why not? So I hope that didn't happen to her. Best wishings and blessings. Yeah. Did I say best wishings?
I don't know. But you said sycophantic.
Yeah. So best wishes and blessings.
Blessings.
Best wishings and blesses.
So there you go. Yeah. You know, I do think.
So Louise, we close the big showbiz book for another week and put it to bed.
That's it. RIP showbiz.
But now I think that circle has been squared because Megan Fox has commented on the fact that, you know. So
now everyone can shut up about it.
Like, yeah, Megan saw it and we all know now.
This is why I would never go on one of those shows. Like, because you would, like, the bullying is off the charts insane.
Yeah.
Like, people are so mean. Everybody needs to get a grip, frankly.
I know, it's cruel.
It is.
But she kind of said, I mean, it is, you know, but look, I mean, because there's, you know, for, and you're sitting in those rooms, you're saying all sorts, you're sitting in there for hours a day.
Yeah.
Listen.
Anyway, wouldn't be for me, Love is Blind.
Nope.
Wouldn't be for me. Esther, where can the people find you? I see your newsletter is kicking off. It's kicked off.
Well, we're in beta mode. We're in beta mode, but the first, so yeah, so if you go to Esther Two Names on Instagram and then in the link tree, you can go in there, click in, you can subscribe to the newsletter. So I'm kind of putting out older episodes that I did a long time ago. My first interview was with Louise McSherry and we didn't know each other.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of re-edited them with like, what's happened since then, guys? Here's the tea. So so go to Esther Two Names on Instagram and you can subscribe and have a great old time. Listen to me talking to Louise. And in the interview, Louise talking about I want a podcast someday and blah blah blah. And
I haven't listened to it yet. Yeah, I must listen to it. I haven't had 2 minutes. But I'm gonna listen to it, although listening to myself is always gonna wait.
Yeah, no.
But obviously me and Esther and Emer are doing a section of the live show that we're doing in the Laughter Lounge. So if you got tickets, lucky you, because we are going to have loads of lols. If you didn't get tickets, too late. You snooze, you lose. Mm-hmm. No, there are whispers of potentially a second show. So we'll have updates on that.
And we're just going to book Louise's scooter to come down O'Connell Street in a blaze of glory. Or one of those bikes, you know, that like 16 people can cycle at the same time. We can all cycle down.
Or imagine we had like one of those, what's the one that they have where you're like, it's a like a motorbike, but then there's two little carts on either side, and you and Emer could be in the two carts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Esther. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
There you have it. Those are the celebs. I haven't been consuming much in terms of recommendations, but hopefully I'll have more for you by Friday. Guys, I'm not going to lie. I'm still just, I know I keep banging on about it. This is not an ad. I would happily do an ad, but it's not an ad. I am still obsessed with Mary and George. I've got 2 episodes left and I'm very upset about that. I don't want it to be over. I just love a period drama and this one is so good and so kind of salacious and fast paced. It's very juicy. At one stage, Julianne Moore uses the line, and this might not be word for word correct, but it's definitely very nearly is. I'm going for a fucking tactical vomit. Like, what? What more could you want from a drama? It's so, so good. It's so good. It's so, so good. I love it. It's on Sky Atlantic, I think, or Now TV or wherever you get your television programs. So yeah, it's one of those shows, you know, when you get into a show and every single minute you spend not watching it feels like a waste. That's kind of how I feel about my life right now. Anywho, that is all. Thank you so much for being with me. Don't forget, there is extra content over on the Patreon, or if you simply want to contribute to keeping the podcast going, it is much appreciated. That's patreon.com/catchupwithlouisemcsherry. Otherwise, I will be back with you on Friday. I hope you have a good couple of days, but if not, don't worry. As we always say, they can't all be good. Put one foot in front of the other, and we will be together then. Thanks to Acast for having me on the network. I love you. Bye.